I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo on this Monday, August the 22nd. Brad Locke here, along with W. Derek Russell.
Hello.
How are you today, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm super. Obviously, I've had my coffee today.
Yeah, it's noticeable.
Two full cups
of coffee. It's affected your vision. You're wearing glasses.
Well, that's the pink eye.
What?
You didn't know that?
You have pink eye?
You were off on Friday, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got pink eye.
You stay the heck over there.
Yeah, it's getting treated. It looks much better, doesn't it, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, looks like a heck of a lot better. Feels better, too, because I went to the eye doctor Friday, and he was like, yeah, you have what I'd call these tiny eruptions on your eyeball, which is not something you want to hear. Which is why I felt like there was sandpaper in my eye, I guess. And it was all bloodshot and nasty, and it's okay.
Well, I realized why I didn't notice it yesterday when I saw you. You were wearing that green shirt. Don't you?
Look at it. Look at it. See, it's fine.
Do with you.
It looks pretty normal now.
I'm just going to do this.
I got poison ivy, too.
For the rest of the show. What? Are you serious?
Yeah. It's well past the contagious point.
What did you do?
I did that mowing.
Did you star in The Hangover Part 4 this weekend?
I did that mowing a couple weeks ago. It's finally fading. So I just got all kinds of ailments.
You're just falling
but
apart.
I feel great this morning, Derek.
You look
It could be worse.
Awful, but oh, good for you. Well,
it's all fine.
You just hang in there, buddy.
I'm hanging.
We need some sort of protective bubble around you.
Bubble boy.
No. Yeah, to make you a bubble boy.
I don't think so. Hey, you know what we should tell people about?
Your new video show.
Yes. You read my mind, Derek.
Well,
that's why we make such a great co-host.
Well, I had to go in through the eye, and it was kind of creepy. But
yeah, it's called Newsbreak. It's about a five-minute daily news show. It's just giving people an update on the new sports and weather, all the main headlines.
You've made the jump into broadcast journalism.
I guess. I mean, I've been doing webcasts. I don't see this as being that much different. You know, do Capital View, do Prep Rally, and of course, those are more podcasty.
It's scripted, so you're.
This is more scripted, yes.
Yeah.
So I try not to sound too scripted, but yeah, you got to script stuff because you want to get your facts straight.
Put the words on the teleprompter. We can make you say anything we want. I'm Brad Locke. Put a question mark on the teleprompter.
So it's about a 5-minute video that'll come out
every weekday at 7 a.m.
7 a.m. You can see it at djournal.com. You can see it on Facebook. Yep.
You're waking up so early to do that.
I am.
We 4 a.m. So
just like the TV folks.
And you go into makeup and everything.
I know, right?
Had to cover up that pink eye.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell this morning you had it on the video. I watched it.
There you go. See?
I watched it.
Yeah.
I saw it before 7 a.m., so I guess I'm special.
Well, it's on YouTube. Also in the morning.
Yeah.
A little before 7.
Yeah.
So if you want to catch it a little extra early, check out our YouTube page. Give our Facebook page a like. That way it should show up in your news feed, or just go to the Facebook page. 7 a.m., 5 days a week. Usually it's going to be me, but Derek will normally be the Monday guy.
I get you started with your week. I
can't think of a better way.
Monday's a crummy day. Everybody knows it. So let's have the crummier of the two of us bring you in for the week. I'm the comedian that comes out before Pink Floyd. You know, I kind of get the crowd okay and everything, and then Brad gets you through Tuesday through Friday.
You calling me Pink Floyd? I'll take that.
Is that an eye reference?
Sure. No, that was pretty good.
Pink Eye Floyd. Hey, all right.
They sold far less albums.
not as well known.
No. Wish You Were Here in parentheses, but I have pink eye.
It's a cover band.
All the songs I have to do. In parentheses, I got pink eye from money. It's just in parentheses, money.
Just to wrap it up, I don't know if we fully explained, but it's a news sports weather headline show. So it's kind of what you need to know about what's going on in the news in 5 minutes.
If you're too busy to go scroll through all the headlines on djournal.com or in your paper, because you know mornings can get busy and hectic, then just you can pull it up on your phone. Now, what we do, we have it on the main page of djournal.com. We'll have it up there, but we'll also create a post. Makes it easier for the people on their mobile devices.
Especially in the app.
Yeah, especially in the app to watch it that way. Just go into the post and watch the video on your phone. Convenient.
Sponsored by Renaissance Bank.
Sponsored by Renaissance Bank. Thank you, Renaissance. I have 2 accounts with Renaissance and a mortgage.
You do?
Yes, I sure do. So what we got on the show today?
Well, Mr. Kent's going to be joining us first up. We've also got Caleb Bedillion going to be coming in as well, followed by Adam Robinson, photographer. We'll be discussing his In Focus. And I assume you were going to tell us what the criminals did over the last week.
Sure will. I didn't have any crime reports Friday because, again, had the pink eye and missed work. But we got 4 days' work to catch up on still.
For pink eye?
I missed work. I tried to work that morning. I tried to start posting stuff. It's kind of hard when you're sitting there with one eye closed. The other one's still not fully awake.
Just get an eye patch, man. You can't really see the screen. You go to CVS and buy an eye patch, you'd look awesome. In fact, I think you should start doing these break with an eye
patch. My wife threatened to put an eye patch on me.
Yeah. I think, well, I would do if you were in my house. I think our numbers would go up if you were wearing an eye patch.
Probably
you
would.
You see that pirate they have hosting the news?
Guy's awesome.
This is not even sweeps yet, and they're really knocking it out of the park.
I'd have to do the news in I have to talk like a pirate.
Yeah, we'll get you a puffy shirt.
He's wearing a radioactive shirt.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all like the shirt I wore, if you've seen the video like that? I had to start people off on a Monday, kind of wake them up a little bit.
He's his own green screen, ladies and gentlemen.
Today, it's just plain old gray and white.
Yeah.
problem with it was we have this reflector that we usually use to, like, reflect the light and
you know, burst into flames.
Keep Brad's face
like
all
Dracula
evenly lit,
in the
but we
sun.
Couldn't use it yesterday.
Like just kryptonite just glowing and couldn't see anything else on the screen.
I think you're wearing gray and black because you can't tell colors with that pink eye, probably. You're like, yeah, that looks good. That's a nice red shirt right there. I'll wear that today. We're going to go ahead and get started on this Monday.
All right, let's welcome Emma Kent into the show. Always good to have Emma to start the week. How you doing, Emma?
I'm good, Brad. How are you?
I'm swell. Thanks for asking. You seem concerned. Genuinely concerned. You're looking at my pink eye.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't look
away. She's never seen a man fall apart so quickly before.
She braved it anyway and came in here. Yeah, I know.
Even Ryan Lochte didn't fall apart as quickly as you are.
At least I don't have the shingles again, Derek. I mean, it could be worse.
Well, knock on wood.
Can you get shingles more than once?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You can.
Okay, that's good to know.
I know someone who's had it like 3 times. That's
the curse is upon them.
I know a friend who's had it 3 times.
No,
it's totally not me.
All right, let's talk about test scores, Emma. We had Mississippi Department of Education recently released test scores on Thursday for the, I guess that was for the 20, what year was that, 2014?
No, 2015-16.
Last school year. I can't keep my year straight. That's what happens when you get old. The Lee County and Tupelo officials, educators, pretty happy overall with their scores?
Yeah, overall, they seemed pleased. I mean, of course, they're always going to say, you know, we want to do better, and that's good. You always want to try to do better. But overall, I mean, they seemed like they were pleased with how things turned out. So
Tupelo Public School District had the best third grade math scores, 68.1% of students reaching proficiency. I mean, that's the best in the state.
Yes.
So
yes, they were very pleased about that.
Let's pause. Looking at some other, I mean, there's a bunch of numbers. In fact, we've also got a searchable database. If you want to go look at every school and every school district, we have that online, which I know took a while for us to put together, Chris, but it's worth going to give that a look. What kind of did you see, though, Emma, just kind of overall impressions of these scores? What kind of was your takeaway for the region?
I mean, overall, the schools in our region did well. Most of them were above the state average, which is always a good place to be.
Right.
The one, you know, I'm trying to think of school districts who really stood out. I mean, Boonville was up there on several of the subjects. Tupelo did well.
Union County, Prentice County did well. Itawamba, Amory, Lafayette.
Oxford did really well. So I mean, overall, across the board, I think we did pretty well. So
yeah. Students are classified. You got 5 different performance levels. You got the minimum, basic, pass, proficient, and advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously you want to be at least really proficient is what you prefer. Obviously you want people to pass, but proficient is kind of the main goal.
It's the big goal for teachers.
And advanced is that's gravy.
Advanced is just kind of icing on the cake.
Right.
But one thing, a lot of students were in the passing level, I guess, which is, they're not proficient yet, so that's the downside. But the upside is that those kids could move to proficient, in the next year or so. So that was, I mean, that's a good thing to see, even if they weren't proficient. Having a lot of kids in that middle ground is probably a good sign.
Yeah.
So
I mean, and you look now, of course, this is all relative, again, to the state average, which Mississippi, I guess, is still at the bottom nationally when it comes to test scores. So you look at something like Oxford Intermediate School had 46.8% of its sixth graders proficient, compared to the state average of 29.2. So that's like way above the state average.
Way above the state average.
But is that still like a good score? I mean, it's not even half.
It's all relative. I mean, obviously you want to be close to 100%, but yeah, I don't know. It's all relative,
yeah, just,
really. And every state takes a different test and uses different standards.
Sure.
And I will say that the standards that Mississippi uses are more intense. They're more rigorous. They're more challenging.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the test is harder than it used to be. So,
in fact, there was an AP story that we just ran about some people thinking maybe the tests are now once thought too soft, now maybe too hard.
Yeah.
So I don't know if in fact, Gerald Loden was quoted in that story. And
yeah.
I know he's had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, like I said, it's all relative. The harder, but, you know, having a harder test means you're holding kids to a higher standard, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Right, right.
But it does make scores go down until you kind of adjust. And so it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, you had a story in today's journal talking about kind of a follow up to this, and then looking ahead to the new letter grades that are going to be released, I guess in a couple months, mid October. And how do the reaching these different levels how does that translate into the letter grades? Like, if you've got a bunch of kids at proficient, I mean, how does that relate to you get level A grade, B grade, C grade?
Well, the number of kids that you have proficient counts toward your letter grade. So school districts get, out of like 1,000 points, there's several categories and they all add up to give kind of, I guess, a score to the school district, and then that kind of translates to a letter grade.
Sure.
But so part of that scoring system is how many kids you have reached proficiency. So these test scores will be plugged into that model to determine how many points, a school district is going to get. And they also look at growth.
Sure.
From year to year. So growth being like if you moved, if you have a student who moves from passing to proficient, so that would be growth. Or if, as long as they stay proficient, you don't want them to fall back.
Right.
From year to year. And then in the lowest two categories, it's minimum and basic. If a student moves from like the bottom half of basic to the top half of basic, to where they're closer to passing, that also counts as growth.
Okay.
So those things factor in, and that's all based on these test scores. So they do play a big role in that, in calculating those letter grades.
Okay. Good deal. Well, y'all can find Emma's stories at djournal.com, and a couple of these about the test scores ran on Friday in the journal, and then I had another one run today as well. So Emma, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Brad.
Don't forget to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Caleb Bedillion joining us now to discuss something we've discussed several times in the past 2 months here on the memo, and that is the shooting death of Antoine Ronnie Shumpert. Quiet on the Western Front in the past week or so, but Caleb had two stories based around the shooting in the past couple of issues of your Daily Journal. One specifically that we're talking about today is the photographic evidence that was provided by the district attorney at a press conference after the grand jury cleared Officer Tyler Cook of any wrongdoing. Caleb, these photographs, we were told during that press conference, would not be released to the media. However, media present that day did get to see them, and I think you did further examine them for this story. Is that correct?
Well, that's right. During District Attorney John Weddle's press conference, this was on the 1st of August when he announced the results of the grand jury, he said he would not release photographs, as in distribute them for further release and distribution.
Right.
But he did allow the media present to view certain photographs. He projected them on a screen. And then since then, I contacted the city of Tupelo, which has its own photographs, some of which were showed by Weddle. So once Mr. Shumpert was in fact shot, and the police began collecting evidence. They took photographs of Mr. Shumpert in the few minutes before he was taken to the hospital while they were waiting on an ambulance. And then, of course, there are autopsy photos. The city does not have those photos, but they do have the photos from the scene. Like District Attorney Weddle, Mayor Shelton decided out of respect for the family, he says he does not think the photos should be released for distribution. Mm-hmm. But as the district attorney did, Mayor Shelton did allow me to see the photos and inspect them. So yeah, having inspected those photos, I wanted to write a story that would kind of evaluate what we know now. As you mentioned, it has been quiet in the last bit, couple weeks or so on this story. You know, a lot of our coverage has been driven by, you know, press conferences or the filing of a lawsuit or the release of the grand jury. I wanted to kind of, with a couple weeks of kind of quiet on that, kind of evaluate, you know, we've heard a lot of claims. I wanted to look at what we're able to know right now. And I mean, it's more limited than I think all of us would like, but
It is limited, but however, there are inconsistencies based on the two sets of photos released, one by Carlos Moore and the family, the other by MBI. So, I mean, and that's kind of what you've based the story around.
Yeah, that was what I've been able to determine thus far. You know, back in, I guess it would have been late June when kind of this issue just kind of exploded into the public eye, and the attorney for the Shumpert family, Carlos Moore, distributed some photographs that were by Carlos Moore's own admission, you know, taken at a funeral home after, you know, his autopsy had already been conducted by a state medical examiner. And, you know, in those photographs, you could see what appeared to be two or more cuts on the back of Mr. Shumpert, rather long cuts. Carlos Moore had repeatedly described those as the result of Tyler Cook's canine attacking and mauling Mr. Shumpert. And then the photos also appear to depict Mr. Shumpert's lower teeth pretty graphically dislodged from his jaw. And this had been described as the result of Cook either punching or kicking Mr. Shumpert's teeth in. In the photos that I was able to see taken again before Mr. Shumpert was transported to the hospital, so this would have been anywhere from, you know, probably 5 minutes or thereabouts after the shooting actually occurred, you can see Mr. Shumpert's back and there are no scratches or wounds on his back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, District Attorney John Weddle says that according to the autopsy report, the cuts that are depicted in the photos released by Carlos Moore occurred during the autopsy. The medical examiner was attempting to remove some of the bullets from Mr. Shumpert's body, and that's where those cuts came from. You know, I had as early as, I think, sometime very early in July, you know, certain sources had indicated to me that that might be the case, that right, those cuts occurred during the autopsy. I had asked Carlos Moore basically a month and a half ago if that was the case, and he had suggested to me then that he had met an expert witness, medical examiner, that had concluded that the cuts were the result of a dog attack and not an autopsy. You know, Carlos Moore later released at least a summary of his expert witness's findings, which aren't quite exactly what Carlos Moore said they were, but, and, you know, he could have had other conversations.
And based on your analysis of both sets of photos, obviously the first set being broadcast live from the press conferences of the family, Moore is you've asked for a statement from Moore about the second set of photos released by the city, which has come to no avail.
Right. I mean, I asked him, so, I mean, do you still believe that there were wounds on the back caused by the dog? And do you still believe Mr. Shumpert's teeth were kicked in? Because, didn't mention this a minute ago, but in the photos, they're not as definitive as I would like, but the photos appear to show Mr. Shumpert's teeth intact prior to being taken to the hospital. I mean, it's not a close-up photo, and his lower lip obscures the gum line, but you can see the teeth above the lip, and they appear to be where they should be, mm-hmm, not dislodged from the mouth. So I asked Carlos Moore about those two injuries specifically, and all he would do is just reiterate his stance that in some capacity, Mr. Shumpert was beaten by Tyler Cook and unjustly killed, and that the police dog was an accomplice in some capacity right. in that. And yeah, I mean, my analysis of the photographs, I think, makes it clear that some of the claims that were made about the teeth in the back are not entirely accurate. But of course, that's a long way. I mean, just to be frank, it's a long way from confirming yeah. the account given by the officer that that Ronnie Shumpert had attacked Tyler Cook and Cook shot Shumpert in self-defense. So
I think it's important to remember to listeners who may watch CBS and NBC a lot, CSI and things like that aren't nearly as as apt as what actually goes on for like, forensics.
You know, bones
and,
or something yeah, where, autopsy. You know, the medical, if the autopsy is released, we're going to be able to say, well, based on the path of the bullet, we can retrace yeah. everything that occurred for the previous 10 minutes. So, I mean, yeah. while I think, you know, certain claims made by Moore at this point can be shown to not be consistent with the facts. At present, the information available is not enough to necessarily say what did occur. All I'm saying right now is it looks like we can say certain things did not occur, but that still leaves us with a pretty wide swath of territory that we can't definitively fill in yet based on physical evidence.
However, one of those instances that sometimes those shows do get correct is during autopsies, photos are taken before and after, so that may shed some more light when that is released. However, we at the Daily Journal have asked for the records to be released from the NBI investigation and were denied.
Yeah, it's slow going on that front. As you said, the piece of information, you know, as someone who's been following this situation pretty closely, the piece of evidence I'm most interested in seeing is the autopsy report that should comprehensively, you know, give an account of what condition Mr. Shumpert's body was in when it arrived for an autopsy. So this will tell us 100% what the teeth looked like, what all the wounds looked like. There will be comprehensive photos of that, and then there will be post-autopsy photos so that we can compare what occurred during the autopsy. The Daily Journal submitted a public records request to the Mississippi Bureau of Investigation for its report. It denied that request. It claims that because federal authorities, including the FBI, are reviewing, now they haven't launched an independent investigation yet, but the FBI is reviewing NBI's report to right. determine whether they think it was fair and conducted in a way that was respectful of everyone's civil rights. They say that since that's ongoing, it's an open investigation and they can't release the report. We will continue to look into what we might be able to get or not get.
And obviously, that report probably was not handed off timeline-wise until after the grand jury's decision for the full basis of everything. So it's only been since August 1st, at the very least.
Yeah,
the FBI has been reviewing this.
The FBI has had it very long. You know, I spoke with the DOJ, which is involved in there, and you know, the spokesperson would confirm that the review of the case is ongoing, but basically said we don't speculate about how long these things will take. Right. So. Could be a while.
Yeah. All right, Caleb, thanks for joining us today.
All right, sure thing, Derek.
Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The annual Dancing Like the Stars event was held Saturday night to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Northeast Mississippi. 11 prominent Tupelo citizens put on their dancing shoes at the Bancor South Arena, performing routines they spent weeks rehearsing. Audience members had the opportunity to vote for the local celebrities with dollar bills or checks. Dancing Like the Stars was looking to raise $200,000 this year. It's raised more than $1.1 million over the past 11 years.
Changes have been made to the Tupelo High School dress code for the current school year that will prohibit students from wearing certain athletic shorts and provide more specific guidelines for students who wear leggings to school. Athletic shorts with elastic waistbands and drawstrings are now prohibited, according to an email sent to parents Wednesday afternoon by THS Principal Jason Harris and TPSD Assistant Superintendent Eddie Pizant. Students who participate in sports or extracurricular activities can still wear these shorts during those activities. The email also stated that leggings, jeggings, and tights worn by themselves are prohibited, but may be worn with appropriate length shorts, skirts, dresses, or shirts that are no more than 3 inches above the knee.
The Tupelo Regional Airport is getting a nearly $950,000 grant to refurbish its taxiway. Mississippi's two Republican senators, Thad Cochran and Roger Wicker, announced Friday that the Tupelo Airport Authority will receive $948,223, of which $829,179 is from fiscal year 2016 funding provided by Congress for the Federal Aviation Administration for Airport Safety and Infrastructure. Airport Director Cliff Nash has called refurbishment of the taxiway, quote, our number one project with the FAA. Planes use the taxiway to get on and off the runway. The taxiway has been patched up in the past, but it has deteriorated to the point that it could cause damage to aircraft. The entire surface must be milled and repaved with asphalt, and the grant will be used to do that work. An FAA inspection last December showed cracks and other issues that needed to be fixed, prompting the Airport Authority to push the project a little harder. Nash hopes work can begin in October, and the project will take several weeks.
Mantachie officials want to make some big changes to the town park, but they need community support to see their plans to completion. Recently, several members of the town's park committee presented Mantachie aldermen with plans for a renovated town park and asked the board to consider using money raised during the upcoming Mantachie Fest event to help fund the project. Their plans include some dramatic changes to the existing park, including a renovated pavilion area, new stage, new centralized restrooms, more tennis courts, and a splash pad. Aldermen voted to allow the group to push forward with their plans and to raise funds for the project in the town's name. Town officials also hope to receive federal and state grants for the project.
The marching band at Ole Miss is being asked to stop playing Dixie. University of Mississippi officials want the school band to stop playing all variations of the song before football games. Athletics Director Ross Bjork said he asked the band to create a new pregame show that is more inclusive for all fans. It is another in a series of steps away from Confederate symbols for the university. Dixie was one of the anthems for the Confederacy during the Civil War. Hey, be sure to check out the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live at around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. Blake Morgan, the new preps reporter, also joining us on this show. The podcast version drops later in the day, Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes. Your podcast apps are at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and MSU fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast with Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry. They release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. And the guys will be back this week. Parrish is back in town, so they'll have a new episode later this week. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Let's welcome in photographer Adam Robison to the show. Adam, how are you doing, man?
Just fine. How's it going?
Great, man. You had the In Focus photo essay this week that we have every Monday, which you can find in your Monday journal or at djournal.com. This week you did the Ashley Pottery Studio.
That's right.
That's right. Downtown Tupelo. Husband and wife, Mike and Laura Ashley. I've met Laura. I haven't met Mike, but nice lady, and they do good work there. Adam, how'd you get? Why'd you decide to do this one?
They're creative.
They are.
I mean, and you know, I went to art school. I get it.
Did not know that.
Yep, BFA from UNA, and you know, I've taken ceramics classes. I've done all this stuff. I know. And, you know, Thomas would make fun of me by saying there's a process. Oh, that's Nick Saban. No, it's not. You know, there's a process and a method of preparation in a craft of getting to your final product. That's very similar to what we do with photo here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always try to pick an in focus if I can where someone is creating and doing something and, you know, here we go.
There's yeah.
No two better folks in town to pick. But yeah, I met Laura when she was running the Gum Tree. I think I did her portrait for her introductory story, and then had met Mike at a school. They had done something with one of the schools, and then when they opened up the pottery place in the Renaissance Center for Ideas, I was also the photog on that assignment. So I saw Mike back in the spring, ran it by him. He's like, yeah, that sounds good. And he had just gotten back into town right about the time that I was, you know, getting up to calling him about it. And he's like, yeah, come on. And I was like, dude, are you going to have enough to do? He said, yep, we got plenty going on.
Did they do the scene from Ghost while you were there?
Well, it's funny because Mitch from KOK walked in, and he's like, he saw me set up in there, and he's like, y'all aren't reenacting Ghost right now, are you?
Yeah.
So...
What fascinates me about pottery, I mean, you just see the way they do it with their hands and the wheel spinning. But, I mean, it has to end up being so precise because, you know, it's got to, especially if it's got, you know, for instance, you got a pot with a piece of pottery with a lid on it.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's got to fit perfectly. But it's still, they're basically, to me, at least to me, it looks like they're, like, just eyeballing this and using their fingers and hand to shape it just right. And it's just, it's fascinating.
Working on a wheel can make you mad.
Anyway, I have to make sure the
yeah, it's got to stay center, and they got to get the shape they want, and then they let it set up. Then it can get glazed, get burned in the kiln, and go from there. But then sometimes it just like if they're making a pitcher, the pitcher is going to have to set up before they can add the handle to it.
Right.
Huh. And they do classes. Go to the website, ashleystudiopottery.com. And so a lot of detail on there about what they do, their background, how they met.
Met at Ole Miss while in art school, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Mike's got his MFA. I think Laura does too. Slap me upside the head because I forget. But
they're both obviously qualified and do good work.
I mean, don't go anywhere else. I'm telling you. I mean, they have items offered for sale. They do classes by appointment. Call them, and they're totally about their craft. They know what's going on.
Yeah, and you can reach them at 523-7887. They're downtown at the Renaissance Center for Ideas on East Main. There,
so. Correct. They're on the corner, and they right there where the garage area is, across from Papa V's.
Right, okay.
Yep.
Gotcha. Yeah, just past the railroad tracks.
Correct.
Okay. Well, again, you can find this in today's journal or at djournal.com. Good stuff, Adam. Thank you.
All right.
Tis Monday, Braderick.
Tis. Derek. That's all right. I can tell
you. No, you can't do that. That's okay, though. It's all right. Hey, tell me what the criminals did.
Oh, you know, the usual shenanigans.
Debauchery and shenanigans.
There was some debauchery. We'll get to that in a minute.
Evil shenanigans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you could say that.
All right.
Some silly shenanigans, too.
Shenanigans.
A Nettleton man said he was talking to a male suspect on Ibarra Drive about a painting job. Hey, you want to paint my house?
Paint my house. Cool. Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. So after talking, the man backed into a driveway to turn around, and the suspect became irate, started yelling at the man, and pulled out a 12-gauge shotgun.
Well, that escalated quickly.
I don't know. Don't use this driveway.
We were good. I think he was mad about his paint choices. You can't do that red in there. It'll never come out.
Chiffon lemon looks terrible.
It'll never look good at that house. Say hello to my little friend.
He's going to class with the drapes.
Morning.
Okay. I just became irate for backing into that driveway.
Yeah, he was good up until that.
Maybe he just poured fresh concrete. Maybe that was the problem.
Is that really worth pulling out the shotgun over?
Maybe. I don't know.
Smooth it out. I would like tire tracks in the cement in my driveway as long as the car doesn't get stuck, because then you've always got a path to go directly into the garage. You're not going to hit anything. You always know exactly what mark to hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I ran cross country in high school, one day we were...
You never ran cross country in high school.
Just imagine.
Yeah.
We were running...
Ryan Lochte.
Yeah. And anyway, there were some Brazilian police.
The guys were chasing us, so I just ran cross country.
Yeah, out of that country. We were all running in a group, and I guess I was further back, or you know, there were people in front of me, and all of a sudden the group parted, and I didn't pay attention to realize what was going on, and I kept going straight. And ran right through a guy who was putting fresh cement, making his driveway. And I couldn't, by the time I saw it, it was too late, and I ran right through it. And obviously, I couldn't stop because we were in the middle of a practice and just kept going.
Were obscenities flung in your direction?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he pull out a 12-gauge shotgun by any chance?
Did you step in the cement?
Yeah, it was all over.
The footprints were right through it.
You should be slowing down here.
I would run in place and put CK next to one of the footprints and kept going.
Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Nicely done.
Jeez.
That's funny. An officer responded to Applebee's on Barnes Crossing about two men.
That's just funny right there.
Yeah, it sure is. Applebee's getting lit. Two men vandalizing and creating a disturbance. The intoxicated men were being extremely loud, and one punched a picture on the wall, breaking the frame.
It was probably an Elvis picture. There's a lot of Elvis pictures in there. Did they not get their apple teenies or something?
I don't know, man. Both were charged with public intoxication and disturbance of a business.
I'm tired of seeing Elvis everywhere.
I've been to Applebee's more times than I care to admit, and I've never seen anything go down like that.
They didn't get their apps, as Applebee's calls them. They didn't get their apps in time. I guess not.
Got their beer. Got plenty of beer, apparently. All right. Around midnight, an officer responding to possible gunshots on Monument Drive found a Ford pickup sitting in the middle of the road. The officer walked up and yelled at the sleeping driver to wake him. The man admitted drinking 6 beers, but his blood alcohol was below the legal limit.
Yep.
He was charged with obstructing a city street. Fell asleep in his car after 6 beers, but he somehow was not at 0.08.
They were super nice, but I did not appreciate being woken up like that. I'll tell you that much right now.
So you can handle your beer at least.
I didn't really think that that was going
to
make
the police reports. I don't know if 6 beers should get you to 0.08.
That went south when you got to Monument Drive, and I was like, oh, no, it's me.
How long ago you had them?
Of course, if it's like Natty Light or some weak stuff like that, then...
Yeah, I had 6 O'Douls, officer.
It's like the Beavis and Butthead episode when they had the non-alcoholic beer and thought they were drunk. That was pretty funny. Anyway, made me think of that for some reason. A Highway 370 Baldwin woman said she went to check her mail and found an egg crate full of fire ants in her mailbox.
I read this one.
She thinks her brother might be responsible because of an ongoing dispute over property. Don't live next to your brother.
This is just lazy prank wars. I've got you some eggs.
Here's some ants.
With some fire ants. Kind
of creative.
How did he get the fire ants in there without getting
bit? That's what I want to know.
Scoop them up.
I guess.
Throw them in there.
Were they inside like empty eggshells?
I don't know. It said a crate. I'm thinking it's actually one of those little things like the eggs coming at the store, not a huge crate. That wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those little styrofoam.
Worse just to put eggs in the, leave eggs in there out in the sun? Like, I mean.
Yeah.
Or fire ants, just push it out, that's done. But, you know, the egg situation would be far worse.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe that's what attracted the ants. Maybe they'd been there for a while.
Eggs?
I don't know.
Hey.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know what's happening.
Well, all right.
All right. Nope. He's dusting off.
Loosen up for this last one here.
Old Pink Eye's back.
Cover your kids' ears.
Yeah, they called Frank Sinatra old blue eyes. Your old pink eye.
Old pink eye. A County Road 2156 South Tilla woman came home around 5 p.m. and found her 27-year-old son having relations with a woman on the couch. The son got mad and started a verbal altercation with the mother, then left the residence. I'm assuming the young lady left as well.
At least it was a person. Did you see the gentleman in Ohio last week that was having relations with a minivan?
What?
I believe it was a Ford Escort.
Ah!
No, it actually was. He was arrested outside a convenience store.
I don't even want to know how that works.
Anyway, that's unfortunate. But yeah, this is bad too.
It's pretty awkward to have your mom walk in.
Everybody involved, that's just an awkward situation, I'm sure.
Yeah, just, you know, maybe get your own place.
Yeah.
So that's police reports. You can find more at tipsheet.djournal.com. Mm. And that's it for today's show, Derek.
Yeah, we're done,
man.
You went off on a note.
Finally.
Not sure it was a high one, but...
Yeah. Hey, again, let's remind people about Newsbreak. We should do that. It's our new daily news show video 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, with myself. Most days, Derek will normally be the Monday guy.
I'm the comedian before Pink Floyd.
There you go. Pink Floyd, Pink Eye Floyd. Anyway, again, it's 5 days a week, 7 a.m. You can find it at djournal.com or on our Facebook page, also on YouTube, just going through the top headlines from news and sports, checking out the weather. It's about 5 minutes. Every weekday, so be sure to check that out to get your news fix, because I know things can be hectic in the morning time, so it's a good, convenient way to do it. Okay.
All right.
Where can they find us, Derek?
Well, we are on where you can stream us from our website at memo.djournal.com. Also, all podcatchers, we are there. iTunes, Satchel, anything you can think of, you can find. Also, of course, Twitter is where you can find out when new episodes are available at DJournal Memo, and then all the stories we talked about today, you can read in your daily journal or find them online at djournal.com. And for the latest in breaking news, follow us on Twitter at djournalnow. Such a time to be alive, Brad.
Oh, boy.
When all these apps and things are there for the taking. And
apps and videos.
Not the Applebee's apps.
Podcasts.
The web apps.
How lucky we are to be alive right now.
Yeah.
Webcasts.
1984 was a warning. It wasn't a... suggestion.
That's right. All right. Well, that's it. We'll be back. We'll be back on Wednesday.
Wednesday it is.
You'll be here.
Let's do it.
All right. See y'all next time. Have a good one.